Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have with us Mallory. Thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to have you and hear your journey.
Yes, no, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to speak on this topic.
Yeah, it's so great, you know, with people going through the journey, which like we're interviewing people here on this podcast, to, you know, that they come out and they share their story and help other people, you know, to get through this dreadful, horrible disease that is so underreported. So yeah, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Anything I can do to help at this point.
Mm-hmm. We our voices need to be heard for sure. So
tell me a little bit what I know you've been chatting with Tanya a little bit, but mm-hmm. I just stepped in, so I would love to hear kind of what transpired. I mean, how did Lyme impact you?
Sure. So 2020 is really when it hit me, and I became bedridden for a while, but I think looking back now at my history, it really started back in 2011. And I remember being in a friend's basement, and we were watching like a football game, and I had my feet on the floor, and all of a sudden I just was getting itchy and felt like I was getting bit. And I looked down and there were like fleas all over biting me. And you know, I was kind of grossed out, and I, you know, stayed and just sort of brought my legs up and didn't think much of it. But a couple of weeks later, I was at my grandmother's house, and she was battling breast cancer for the second time. And we were having a cousin sleepover with her, and I ended up passing out that night. And just all kinds of things happened. My mom came and brought me to the ER. And I really think that was sort of the beginning of my journey, because after that, when I look back, every spring and fall, I would have a relapse. And there were just all these random things that, you know, I'd go see my doctor about, but you don't really put it together, because I love what you say is true. You don't really get it till you get it. And, you know, I'd heard of it before, and, you know, growing up, we were in the woods pretty much, and, you know, we were always outside and we looked for ticks. So I knew that much. But as far as, you know, what it could really do to a person, I was very naive. And so looking back now, I had random sinus infections all the time. And, you know, usually my doctor would treat me with two doses of antibiotics because it wouldn't really clear the first time. Or I had acute bronchitis every year. I had some like tooth infections and just random conjunctivitis, just random things that, knowing what I know about it now, I feel were probably related to some sort of co-infection. And so I got through the years. I mean, back in 2012, I moved back to my home state of Maine and rekindled with my college sweetheart and the love of my life. And so we started having a family, and our first child we lost. I was 7 months into pregnancy and went into preterm labor. And so that was very traumatic. And, you know, him and I got closer through the process. But, you know, the trauma, I think, is a big part of my story. And more to come, I guess, on that. But after that, we, you know, we really started growing our family, and I was able to, you know, I utilized support groups a lot with pregnancy after loss. And, you know, we've been able to have 3 more rainbow babies. So I am, you know, very grateful for that. And I'm a little bit surprised from what I know now that, you know, it didn't attack my body sooner, but I, you know, I definitely wasn't as healthy throughout my pregnancies and the years in between as I probably could have been. And, you know, my doctor kind of was wrapping it up to, you know, you've been through a lot and you've been pregnant. I have 4 girls. And so, you know, I was pregnant several times and they were taking all the nutrients from my body. And, you know, there was a lot of explanations that made sense. I wasn't sleeping very much at night, you know, being a mom and things. So, you know, it was easy to chalk up to, yeah, that's probably what's going on. But really, I think, you know, it was more related to probably some co-infections at the time. So skipping ahead, back in 2019, I did have 2 known bites right back to back. I was pregnant with my pot of gold, our youngest, and I got bit. I can't remember exactly where. I got bit, I think, in the back of my head, actually. And I was about 34 weeks pregnant. And then back on June 27th, I got another bite overnight. And I'm not sure if it was a tick or if it could have been a spider or something else. I know, you know, typically it's ticks that we all talk about, but there's obviously other things that can pass these. So I'm not quite sure, but my ear, I mean, just blew up. We referred to it as an elephant ear, and it was just enormous and so much pain. And so that was on June 27th, and I ended up having my daughter on July 4th that year. So it was right before I had her. And I guess part of my story, too, is that most of the births that I've been through have been pretty traumatic. You know, obviously the first with our loss, the second, we were in the NICU with her for 17 days. And, my third, we had shoulder dystocia. So she came out not breathing and it was just a very scary and traumatic time. And then we come into the last baby and I have all these, you know, elephant ear, all these things going on, and it turned into an emergency cesarean. So it wasn't, you know, the planned, everything I had planned in my mind. But that, I think, is really where my downfall started, is the cesarean. I never really healed very well from that. And then we hit 2020, and, you know, in March, we're shelter in place. I have 2 girls in elementary school that were homeschooling and we're doing remote learning. I was actually working remotely at the time. So when I moved back to Maine in 2012, I was going to resign and they wanted to keep me. And so they offered remote work. So I decided to stick with them and was remote ever since. So I wasn't new to the working from home aspect, but having the kids and the chaos and managing, you know, full-time job, 3 kids at home, you know, it's still a baby at this point and the remote learning and everything. And now the pandemic, it was a lot. And, you know, the stress of everything was a lot on my body. And that just set me up for failure, I guess. So I don't know if I got bit again or not, but in mid-June of 2020 is when almost overnight my body just shut down. I was bedridden for a couple months at that point, and we didn't know what was going on. I mean, the unknown, we thought, you know, maybe it was COVID. So my doctor referred me to get a test. It was negative. So I knew it was some kind of infection. Nobody really knew what. And, you know, At that time I had, you know, no fever, but I was feeling hot. I had sore throat. I was nauseous all the time. I had really bad headaches. My ears always felt like I was on an airplane and were popping, or it almost felt like there was a fire in my eardrum. I could just kind of hear the crackling. Fatigue was really bad. I felt like I had someone sitting on my chest all the time. I then started my senses sort of got heightened. And so having the kids at home and the sound, I would walk around with earmuffs, they're called. So my husband is a Marine, and we would always go shooting at the range together. So I had my own set of earmuffs, and I'd walk around the house wearing them. My kids are just kind of looking at me like, what is going on here? But the senses were just very much heightened, and I started getting anxiety, and just my arms were burning, my legs were tingling or going numb. I mean, just everything. And it's like you just feel crazy because you don't know what's going on. And, you know, at that time, I think it was still fairly early where my doctor didn't really want me to come into the office and was kind of referring me to get tested first because I, you know, my symptoms sort of lined up. And then once it was negative, it was like, okay, what do we do now? So thankfully, my mom really pushed me. And she said, you know, I really think you should consider Lyme. And, you know, she unfortunately has been through it. She has Lyme and several co-infections. So she knew. And, you know, I always feel really guilty myself now because when she was going through it, I knew it was hard and I did my best to help, but I definitely never understood the extent of what she was going through until I went through it. And then having her as support during my journey, you know, sadly was comforting, but, you know, to have her was just amazing. I definitely got lucky in that sense of all the support that I had with my family, my friends. You know, my husband actually stayed home and was a full-time at home helping with the kids and taking care of me throughout, you know, the hardest part. You know, and work, my managers at work and my coworkers, you know, they fully supported and helped me out along the way. And I am forever grateful for that. So to come back to it, she said to really consider Lyme. And at this point, you know, I'm looking for another doctor to kind of travel that road. So I didn't really know where to start. There's not a lot, that advertise that they treat for Lyme or handle Lyme in our state.
And that's usually for good reasons.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So I was really fortunate to find the one that I ended up with. I searched through my insurance first, and that's how I found her. I was doing tons of research, reading all the bios on every doctor and, you know, what their experience was and all this. So I went there, and she wasn't accepting new patients, but her colleague was, and I got my foot in the door. And so we started out with diet and you know, getting inflammation down, and that was sort of the route we started with. And then it ended up being some mold testing before we eventually got to Lyme. And they were Lyme literate, so they had me fill out the questionnaire, the Horowitz questionnaire, and I think it was like an 80-something, so it was, you know, clear enough that it was in the realm of possibilities. And so we sort of started peeling the layers that everyone talks about, peeling the onion, and So the diet was sort of the first step, and that was really hard, and it's still a big part of my journey now and in remission. Diet is a key factor. It's still challenging for me to stay on it the way I do, but I'm at this point still a little nervous to try anything else and reintroduce things because I just know that it works. So that's where we started. And then I started taking an approach at my viral load. So I had reactivated EBV. I had CMV, that was acute infection. I tested positive for mycoplasma pneumonia. So those were the start, and we sort of started treating with I used some transfer factors. I had a lot of good luck with research nutritional products. And I think for me, I didn't know very much about treatment or options at this point, and I just had full faith in my doctor and basically just let her tell me what to do. And I was the best patient and followed every instruction. And I just, no matter how hard it was or mentally taxing on me, I just did everything she told me to get out of the hell that I was in. And it worked, thankfully.
That's a good thing. But we get desperate and we don't know a lot about what our body is going through. And so if we find somebody who will believe us and treat us, we kind of will just do what they say. You know, I had mentioned before, and I say it all the time, like Dr. K is my little voodoo doctor, with his muscle testing, but it's the most incredible thing in the world. But so, okay, let's back up for just a second. You're on a roll and I'm loving it. But I do want to touch a little bit on the diet, because that is such a huge part of just our general health, you know, but especially going through treatment and trying to get well. And I know that it's a tough topic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They talk about, you know, no, I don't want to give that up. And I try to tell people that, I mean, I remember at one point there were like four or five foods that I could eat. And I thought, yeah, God, I'm never going to ever want to eat those again, you know, once I get well. But it doesn't have to always be forever. You know, if you need to limit some certain things, fortunately, you know, as my doctor's sitting right next to me, I pretty much eat whatever I want.
What?
But I don't feel like I'm affected by it. But, you know, I was off of sugar. I was off of gluten. I was off of dairy. I was off of so many things. And that doesn't mean it has to be forever, you know? Yeah. So talk a little bit about what your diet looked like.
Sure. So in the beginning, I was very strict, and we sort of rolled it out in phases. So the first thing I did was remove nightshades. And, you know, this is the summertime in Maine, so I'm like up here eating, you know, tomato and mozzarella with salt and pepper, and just grilling all the time with peppers and mushrooms and, you know, onions, all these things. And so they're like, you know, nightshades gotta go. And I'm looking at it like, oh my God, I've been eating these so much lately. So that was the start. And then I started going dairy free. I spent probably more money than I needed to trying to figure out what substitutes were going to work for me. And, you know, finally I found them. I started replacing, like, I used coconut sugar and, you know, arrowroot flour, you know, all the substitutes for an AIP diet. I probably took the longest to get rid of gluten because I just wasn't sold on it quite yet. And, you know, now I feel like I've reintroduced it at times and it doesn't bother me as much, but I do it very limited. So I don't think I'm super sensitive, but I do like get headaches and some things. So for me, I limit it still. But I started doing the AIP diet. I was going online and I found Unbound Wellness is a great website that I just loved and got so many recipes off.
And what is the AIP diet for listeners that don't know?
Sure. So the autoimmune diet, you know, I've been doing it so long, I'm not sure I can explain anymore. I could probably tell you what I eat, but I'm not sure how much I could do. I mean, basically, I think it's like anti-inflammatory, and if you have anything to add, go ahead and jump
in. So what are some things that you are, so you're avoiding the nightshades, obviously avoiding, you know, things like probably gluten, dairy, sugar. Yeah, what else are you avoiding?
Nuts and seeds at the start were some things that I was avoiding as well. The grains. I took eggs out for a while, but I've been able to reintroduce those just fine. I know some people tend to struggle with them still, or it's a little bit more of a controversy. But I also found out in the process, I was doing a food journal with my doctor, and, you know, it was starting to get to the point where it was still really challenging, because I would almost feel drunk every time I had lunch. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was probably just Lyme or Babesia, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, I think I struggled a lot with so many symptoms, and I really just wasn't able to tell, you know, oh, it's because of this, oh, it's because of that. There's so many overlapping symptoms with mold and Lyme and all the different co-infections that who knew at that point, I felt. So we ended up doing a Alitest food allergy panel, and it was like on point. I mean, there were things like watermelons and grape. That, you know, I thought I was eating healthy fruits and things, but I was allergic to them now. And they're things that I had had my whole life that I was now sensitive to, which I think Babesia, I guess, was really the cause behind it. And so that those results were really telling. And once I eliminated those foods, things really got much better from there. And we focused a lot on gut healing. Throughout the whole process, just trying to, you know, get my gut back to where it needed to be. You know, throughout the process, I ended up with candida and methane SIBO, I'm not sure how to say it. So it was definitely a whole gut process throughout. But that's sort of what I stuck to.
And how did you find out that you're dealing with which lab did you use for the food sensitivity testing? How did you know that you're dealing with candida and SIBO?
So the Alitest lab is what we used. It was a 184 food allergy panel. It was a blood sample that I gave that came back. And again, the results for me were spot on. I mean, there were other things like pumpkin, where I had replaced an AIP recipe for a pumpkin chili, and I was reacting to pumpkin, and that was what was giving me that drunken feeling all the time. And then the next kind of phase was mold. So we used the Vibrant Labs for environmental mold mycotoxins panel, and then we ended up using it again for my Lyme co-infections. So through those results, I had some molds that were just off the charts. There was one, she said it, you can get it from like ingesting gas or gasoline or something. I'm not even sure where it came from. It wasn't a mold, but it was an environmental mycotoxin that was just off the charts. And
so you cut those habits now?
Yeah, I'm no
okay.
longer.
Okay, good. Just,
I told you he's gonna joke with you.
No idea where that came from. Well, the Vibrant Labs is where I got like the blood positive results for Babesia microti, the Borrelia strains, several tick-borne relapsing fever. And she gave me the clinical diagnosis for Bartonella, but I've never actually tested positive in a blood sample for it. I've tested positive in a muscle testing later on, but I've never actually had a blood positive for it. I definitely have the signs and symptoms. And I think I've heard the reference of when you're treating that, the co-infections and sort of do a dance, and they definitely did for me. So that's actually the point where I kind of was able to figure out, oh, this is a Babesia flare-up or this is Bart, because of the symptoms while I was treating. Mm-hmm. So Vibrant Labs was what we used.
Was for that. And then for the SIBO, was that just the breath test you were using?
That was actually Genova Diagnostics, I believe, mm-hmm. Was the sample I did for that. And it was a full sample. That was one of my results that, you know, my doctor was absolutely wonderful. And she knows so much, but I couldn't process what she was telling me at that point in my treatment. My mind, I had so much brain fog and confusion and things. So when she went through the results for me, with me that day, I have the notes that I wrote down, but I didn't really get most of it. So I definitely had like a metabolic issues and that's sort of where we found the methane SIBO issues. And there were other things that sort of came up at that point too. But it was all the same approach to gut healing. And at that point, that was about a year into my treatment, to kind of skip ahead. I did go on a like semi-elemental diet for a short time, probably 2 months. And I think that was more related to that.
And what kind of diet did you call it?
So it was a semi-elemental. So there is a physician's elemental diet that's like a shake. And it's basically what your body needs and requires for nutrients, but it will kill off all of, you know, the bad, not really sure what it's called, but it will make them starve and kill it off so that your gut comes back in balance. And so most people shy away from doing this semi-elemental from what I've read. But I did it, and so I would do these shakes, but I would also have one or two meals a day. So it was giving me time to allow for the rest and digest overnight. So I would stop eating around like 10 p.m., and I would have a shake probably 11 or 12 the next day. And so it just sort of extended that time to allow for my body to work and digest my foods the way it should.
Interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. So Physician's Elemental is the powder that we used. And there were, I don't know, I think I did maybe 2 to 4 shakes a day.
And did you have any type of like reaction from it? Did you have any like die-off feeling from?
I did.
You said this kind of killing things. Really? Okay.
Yeah, I did. But for me, it was hard because at that time I was going through so much. I really don't know what was what. I didn't start putting things together until after I started feeling better. I mean, when I was bedridden for like 2 or 3 months when I finally found my doctor to start helping. Mm-hmm. And then, we focused really on the mold detox first, and that was like the first 6 to 9 months of the process. And that's when I started sort of functioning again and being able to get out of bed and being able to, you know, help a little bit around the house. I wasn't contributing much at that point, like at all. I was still working remotely the whole time, full time. And, you know, thankfully, my management was really supportive. So if there were really bad days, you know, I think I called out less than a week's time, maybe 10 days total throughout the process, because I was able to work from home and work through it. You know, I was probably having migraines and headaches. They may not want to know this, but there were days that I had an Epsom salt bath and I was in the tub with my laptop reading through emails for the first 45 minutes of my day. You know, at lunch, as soon as I logged off, I was taking a nap and I might have an extended lunch just to be able to get through the afternoon. And then as soon as I logged off, I was just sleeping. I'd say goodnight to my kids and my husband would like, you know, shuffle food into me once in a while and that sort of thing. And then I was going right to sleep. So there were, you know, thankfully I was able to work throughout that process.
And yes, and that's one of the small blessings of COVID, right? Is that we learn we can do so many things remotely. Okay, so
because the whole world shut down around me and it was the same time I was going through this. So I didn't have you know, it was almost like people didn't know what I was going through because they were home. And, you know, unless they were close to me, they had no idea because it was right all the same timeline.
Right. Okay, so you first started with your diet, and then you did gut health throughout your whole journey. But so then, did they treat the mold before they started killing the Lyme?
Yes, and I'm not sure if they did that methodically or not. That's just the way it worked out because that was the next test results I got. Okay. So, you know, I know that's sort of a controversy on our support groups, whether it has to be treated first or not, but that was my process. In the first 6 to 9 months was mold detox. I bought one of those like portable Amazon, you know, $300 saunas, and I was doing infrared sauna. I followed Dr. Jess's Kill Bind Sweat protocol. And so I was sweating it out in the sauna. I had, I feel like I didn't really know much about binders at that time. And I'm sure my doctor probably told me about these things, but again, my brain fog and things were just so bad that I probably didn't take everything in at each appointment. But I was definitely doing like activated charcoal at that point. And we use toxin pull from Research Nutritionals. I was using Lipsmol, glutathione, and NAC to help with the detox process. I used a transfer factor plasmic capsule for a while, and I know that was supposed to kind of help both the Lyme and co-infections as well as mold. I don't know a lot about transfer factors, but I definitely, that was part of my treatment.
Transfer factor is kind of to educate the immune system so that it is more effective in addressing immune system challenges, you know, like with mold, frequently you have these overreactions, you know, because they secrete chemicals, and so then you have mast cell activation, and it also impacts you neurologically. So then to have something that makes the immune system operate in a smarter fashion rather than, you know, all of a sudden it just starts screaming, kind of like, you know, a parent coming home and exhausted and children are running around and you just go into default, you know, mode of screaming. So it's the same with the immune system. If it's exhausted, then it just kind of gets into that mode. So transfer factor just helps to kind of calm a lot of that down.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, so that really, they did, that helped me a lot. And during that time too, my joints were really bad and my fingers were really bad. And one of the treatments she also offered at her office was low level laser. It was this handheld device. It was like maybe 7 or 8 minutes of my treatment. And they did it on my hands. But also on my vagus nerve. So there, I was so inflamed. I was going up and down. I'd have anxiety and all these things too. And when I did the first treatment, it was like almost overnight, I just felt such a calming in my body. And I ended up doing it four or five more times on a weekly basis for a bit. And then it's sort of once the pain creeped back into my hands, I would go and it would extend longer. And that's something that really helped me that I mentioned to other people to try, but I don't hear much about people using it. But that definitely helped with my joint pain a lot.
I've heard, I don't really know what it is. I know that there's a company that a lot of people are talking about, and it's some kind of a wand where you scan your body and it's supposed to make you feel better. I don't know if that's the same thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
There's so many different devices,
right?
out there. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. We have, yeah, so the low level laser, I mean, we had Erconia lasers at our center, and then we have Weber lasers, and we have, you know, a bunch of different types of lasers, and they're all great. You know, the red specifically, you know, is very regenerative, activating the immune system. Yeah, so that it's fantastic for any kind of inflammation, and you can bring in other colors, you know, like the laser we have. You know, can bring in blue, that's very anti-inflammatory, and increase nitric oxide, you know, circulation and all these type of things. So yeah, laser therapies, light therapies, you know, they're really, really powerful type of therapies. And then you have these, you know, scans, you know, different biofeedback scans that you can use. I mean, we have something called AO scan at our center, but there's several of them out there as well, that, you know, where you can kind of run frequencies through the body and see where, you know, frequency signature of different pathogens or toxins or organ system, and then you can kind of identify areas to work on, and then you can feedback frequencies to help to balance that out. And so there's so many amazing things out there that you can use, you know, like what you were doing.
Yeah.
It is incredible, the technology that's there's, you know, I'm just talking about this laser thing. There's like 20 different lasers apparently.
Yeah, and that actually reminds me, at that point, you know, I was in this tiny little sauna. My friend was like, put a postcard, you know, post it on it and send it out to Hawaii. But I ended up finding a local spa that had the sunlight and sauna that everybody was like, oh, these are great. And so I started going about once a week, and I really did feel amazing coming out of that. And it was one that had not only the far infrared, but the mid and the near rays as well. And I loved it so much that I just recently turned 40, and my husband, he loves me, and we ended up getting our own. So now I have my own sunlight, and I think we have the Amplify here, and it is still very much part of my routine to this day. The light therapy and the sauna has really done a lot for me and my healing.
I love that. And I love to hear that, you know, even though you're doing well, you still incorporate different things into your daily living. And I think that is really important. And I think that a lot of people that have, you know, they get well and then they have setbacks. I think it's either because you didn't get to the root of the problem, or because you just are acting like you're 20 again and can do anything. You can do anything you want. You can eat anything you want. You can not sleep. You can, you know, and it really does take a toll on us. And so I love it when people talk about things that they continue to incorporate in their daily life.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of it I can take away from this whole process. You know, I was a busy mom. I was working a lot. You know, I wasn't taking great care of my body. And, you know, I learned, you know, all the nutrients. I think what really stuck with me is to treat yourself like a plant. And so that's sort of my logic now. And I really focused on mind and body. And I do a lot of things still that I learned through this process. And it wasn't that I did it all at once, because when you look at the list, it's like 3 pages long of things that I've introduced in the past 3 years to my life. But it was gradual, and it makes such a difference. And there's so many things that you can do for free that, you know, people get hung up on all these big treatments and things. And I like to tell people, you know, there's a lot of free that you can do out there. And, you know, that's sort of one of my biggest takeaways. I incorporated a lot of mindfulness, breathing exercises. I do a lot of grounding, and, you know, people probably think I'm crazy on my Facebook page because I'm posting pictures of my trees and my birds and my property, because every morning I'm trying to get out there for the sunrise and the sunset. And it's just, you know, and that I think also helped me get back into my sleep, because I definitely went through the phase of the whole tired and wired, and I'd go from insomnia to fatigue, and I just felt crazy. And I think that sort of helped me start to get into the routine again of sleeping better. And, you know, they say the sunlight, I guess, can help with that, that your eyes will react to the natural sun. And obviously vitamin D is great for you. And I was definitely deficient at that point. So I need all the extra I can take. So Yeah, I've incorporated a lot that I still do today, and I think yoga nidra is another that I absolutely love. Every Sunday I do it. My mom introduced me to that as well, and it just starts my week off great, and I get a great night's sleep. And it's one of the things that I suggest to everybody too.
And I heard the word yoga, but what exactly did you say?
It's yoga nidra. So it's more of a meditation than a physical movement piece. Okay.
And how can people find that?
That's a great question. I'm not really sure. Probably your local yoga places might be your best choice to ask around. My mom's the one that introduced it to me it's her yoga teacher or instructor. And we just do it through Zoom.
Okay.
Each week. So I'm not really sure, you know, how.
At a yoga studio, they would be able to.
So
if you're doing it through Zoom, yeah, people should be able to connect with that from anywhere, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
So yeah. What would be a good place for people to connect, you know, if they want to kind of check out the group that you're part of?
I mean, she's pretty old school. I feel like she doesn't have a website or anything. I'd have to ask. I don't really know. I just sort of got the link from my mom and I send her a check for $10 a session. Like, I don't really.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll have you research that a little bit because that sounds amazing. Sure. Something somebody can do at home. And if that's something that's available to other people, maybe we can add it to the title of your podcast so people can find that information.
Yeah. And I definitely have seen it on YouTube and some like Amazon Music. I've kind of searched it before and there are some that are, you know, 12 to 15 minute meditation things. So yeah, I can definitely do some research and share some more feedback.
Didn't know you're going to have homework, right? We just like all these tools that, you know, because like you said before, things that you can do for free at home. But, you know, when you're sick and you're just going through this journey that you've never experienced anything like it before, you just don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
And especially if you have that brain fog, which so many of us have that, we aren't capable of going down different avenues to learning things. So we want people to kind of spoon feed us the easy things. Go outside barefoot and walk around. Don't ask why, just do it, right? Yeah. Like that's what we need to tell them.
hug a tree, you know.
Yeah, and, yeah, exactly.
Listen to the birds. Yeah, do the sun salutation and, you know, and greet the morning and stay away from EMF around your, yeah, around your bed and turn off Wi-Fi and just all these kind of basic things.
Well,
yeah.
And we think they're basic.
Yeah, but because we do.
Yeah. But exactly. A lot of people, they have no idea what it is. You know, I always thought you're not supposed to walk barefoot outside because you're going to get germs, but I'm a little bit of a clean freak. So I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but I do it now.
So kind of run through some of the kind of free habits that you've incorporated that you think would be good for people, even though you think that maybe they think you're weird or whatever it may be. Just kind of things that you feel that these are some free habits that I'm doing that's helping, you know, like the grounding and, you know, the morning and those type of things.
So especially I feel like gut health is a big one. And it's not just diet. I also feel like you can do sort of a tracker or a food journal. And I used to track my symptoms for my doctor. So you kind of, you know, you really got to be your own advocate. They don't know what you're going through unless you tell them. And so with my mind the way it is, I imagine a lot of people suffer from it too. I had to write everything down. And that's the only reason I can replay what I went through with you today, because I have all these notes and I had a binder that's like 3 inches thick at this point. My doctor probably thought I was crazy bringing it to every appointment, but I tracked everything. And I think that's something that, you know, you can do for free to sort of find out if there's foods that are causing you pain or inflammation, because the test doesn't always tell you everything either. I like to focus on regulating your nervous system. So I do a lot with my vagus nerve, some humming, some singing, gargling. I do a lot of breathing exercises, Wim Hof, or I do the 4-7-8 technique a lot, where you breathe in 4 seconds, you hold it for 7, and you breathe out for 8. My kids actually love to do that as well. We do a lot of laughter as much as we can. You know, I have my regular girls' nights to get all my laughter in, or some comedy shows, things like that. Getting out in the sun, for sure. I used to sort of combine and make my own detox treatments, I feel like. I'd read about taking like cold showers, or, you know, going from hot to cold and things like that. So I would sort of incorporate that as well. And I would do things like dry brushing before my sauna, or before an Epsom salt bath, or I always did the manual lymphatic massage, drainage massage. And there's some really good videos on YouTube that explain it, but just doing that, even if it was just on my head when I was going through the Babesia herxing, was really helpful to drain my head. But I would do it for my whole body when I had the time. And, you know, that's something that you can certainly do on your own.
And so actually, that's interesting you brought that up, because I've been working with a gentleman the last several weeks, and he's so sensitive to everything, and he can't figure out a way to help his lymphatic system. He can't, you know, do the rebound, or he can't so many things. But, and so what is it, just a facial massage?
That's where I focus. You can do your whole body though. There's a YouTube video I like to suggest to people. When I search it, it is manual self lymphatic massage for swelling. And it's a lady. I think she's like on a beach in Florida or something. but she explains it really well. And it's like 20 minutes, but I would always just kind of focus really on my head, and it's very light, gentle touching, to just sort of activate your lymphatic.
Okay.
And you know, I like to do it in the shower sometimes too. I think the warmth sort of also can help with your lymphatic system. When I was in bed, I read a comment on the support group about just starting with arm circles. And that's sort of how I started when I was sick in bed. I wish I had your podcast then, or had known about it, because I would have just loved to sit there and listen constantly. And I learned so much from it. So I think I heard someone mention the arm circles. And so that's sort of like, I would just sit up in my bed and do a couple arm circles to help with the lymphatic. And then it moved to just jumping jacks a little bit, or jumping on my bed, like the rebounding that you mentioned. And it seems so simple. It seems like silly sometimes, but it really made a difference. And for me, my body, I have the gene mutation. It's the rare one, I guess, the prothrombin gene mutation. So they say it can impact your detox pathways, but I definitely have to work hard on detoxing for my body. It just doesn't do what it needs to on its own. And so, you know, I'd get bored with some of it. So that's why I changed it up so much. And, you know, that's where I started, was the arm circles.
Those are a lot of really, really good tips that, one, don't cost anything. Two, that even if you're bedridden, you can do. I mean, who can't breathe, right? And hold their breath. And breathing work is, you know, really important. A lot of people do tapping and stuff to help with anxiety. So those are great tips. Thanks for sharing all of those. Yeah, so Dr. K, Mallory and I started chatting several weeks ago and got introduced to the podcast. She's listened to every episode since then.
of our podcast?
Yes. Yes, in just the last couple of weeks.
I was hesitant to do this because I had never done it before or listened. And so I just dived in and listened to like nonstop, really.
How many were there? I'm curious, because it's over 100 at least now, right?
Yeah, I think you're at like 103 now or something.
So which one, out of curiosity, since you have it all fresh, which one was your favorite?
Oh, man. There were so many that I wrote down notes and things that, like, my doctor, I'm sure, tried to explain, but I heard it in someone else's words and it resonated. I don't know if I have a I can relate a lot with Tanya and her story. She's lived out my worst fear of having a fire. I relate to you where I still have my pregnancy test. I still have my first onesie and, you know, a lot of things that I just fear I would lose in a fire. So I'm so sorry that you went through all of that. And trauma was a big thing for me. And I've done brain spotting is the thing that I've been working on. And I still do. And sorry. But yeah, hearing your story, it just really touched me. And, you know, just as sad as it is, there's so many people that suffer from Lyme. And so many people don't even know about co-infections. I mean, I didn't know what a co-infection was. I had no idea. And so just hearing that there are other people in the world that have gone through this, you know, it really is terrible to go through, but you can really come out on the other side, and sharing your story is going to help everyone, you know, in the future. And that's really what my passion is now, is to just be an advocate for our community. I was telling her earlier, I'm speaking tomorrow to try to get a bill passed in the state of Maine. That will be a step for Lyme patients, I feel. And so, you know, sharing stories and being able to really, you know, feel comforted in the fact that you're not alone. I mean, it is such a lonely thing. I had the greatest support, and it kills me that so many don't have the kind of support that I had. And that's really why I wanted to share my story too. You know, I'm in such a great place now, and
thank you.
Yeah, I love that. And your story, you know, gives so much inspiration. And we talked a little bit before the show, and you had mentioned you wish that you had our podcast when you were going through your journey. And it really is such an incredible tool to have for people. So yeah, we just want to get the voices out there, the voices that have gone through the journey, you know, the you don't get it till you get it journey. Mm-hmm. And just give that hope and inspiration to the listeners out there. And, you know, even so, just like learning these easy tips that you're sharing. So it's not just about hope and inspiration. It's also about knowledge and learning. You know, the more tools you have in your toolbox, the better off you are. So we appreciate you really sharing your journey along with everyone else.
Yeah. I feel like you really are the only one that can change your life and the way it goes. So, you know, you do have to put in so much effort, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
Like I say, you know, it's okay to have a bad day and then get up the next day, get dressed and do it. You have to get dressed and show up.
I know. Some days easier than others.
And for sure.
Yeah. You guys definitely have had it harder days than I've had. So I really appreciate, you both of you being here telling your story. So, and I think, you know, for all the listeners out there, yeah, it is important that this kind of information gets out. And so, you know, one of the ways is, you know, for people to make this more visible, like a podcast like this, is to, you know, you go and like it, and you rate it, and then you write a review.
Make sure to tell them, you know, how good Dr. K and I are, and, you know, exactly. All that good stuff.
I share it with everyone I know too. Yeah.
And that's not just for our podcast, but for anything that's out there that is sharing this message, to really support it and promote it, so that people that are starting this journey, they have an easier time to find it. Yeah. You know, and that that becomes the key, because it's one thing that when you're ingrained in the community already, but the people that are starting the journey, they don't know where to look. So to make these things more visible, it becomes a responsibility for people that, you know, the listeners to these type of things, to really do take steps to make it more visible so people have better access.
Yeah. And it is so overwhelming to navigate. I mean, I remember just diving into so much research, and a lot of it was in one ear out the other for a while with the brain fog, but I was trying. But, you know, I have this sort of starter kit that I give to people, and I tell all my friends, you know, if you know anybody that has it, you know, refer them to me. I'm happy to help, because I learned most of my information online and, you know, support groups. And, you know, thankfully I was able to get a diagnosis, and I had a wonderful doctor, and she's like, we hug every appointment now. I mean, she's like family to me now, you know, and so many people just don't have that. And so I really, you know, do my best to try and help and give guidance. It's not that I don't know that I would do everything that I did the same way now that I know about it. You know, but I have an idea, and I can support anybody in their choice of what they want. You know, my mom, she's back in remission now. She's gone the full herbal route. I had some herbs, but I did antibiotics too. And so we had a different journey, and my daughter, she has it as well. Several co-infections, and we're kind of taking more of the liquid and the herbal route too. So there's just so many options, and it's not a one size fits all by any means. And, you know, the unfortunate piece with chronic Lyme is that it's systemic, and it impacts everyone just so differently. And that's what makes it so difficult. And so, you know, tell them and share what you know and the different treatment options. And you just really have to find what resonates best with you, because that's what you're going to stick to. And, you know, even these free things that I did for myself, you know, there were different times that I would, you know, do them, come back to them, things like that. Cause it was just whatever resonated with me to get my body back in balance is what I really needed to do. So
yeah,
there's plenty of options.
That's awesome. Well, Mallory, it's been so great having you. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. Thank you so much for what you do to the community, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We need people like you out there advocating for us. So we appreciate it so much. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right.
Take care.
The information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld. Thank you.